Oh, that was pitiful. Let's try that again. Good evening.
Good evening.
That's better. Welcome to worship at Union Congregational Church, a church in the United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. We are continuing our worship series with our friends of the United Methodist Church and Pastor Renee, and I have Chaplain John from the Christian Home, who is also a member here, he filled in my stead, but then we decided to keep him.
Thanks, guys.
Yes, you did such a bang up job last week.
Yeah. If you are here and you would like to learn more about our church, or if you are a member and need to update your information or anything, there's a QR code right up there that will lead you to a Google form, so you can do that. So if you are interested in that, that's there for you. But don't worry, Renee, I'm not going to poach anybody.
You gotta share.
So, I don't think I have any announcements for you UMC folks. Know that everything you need will be up on the screen, but there are a few large print bulletins in the back if you'd prefer that. But everything you need is up there. Anything else before we enter into worship? John is going to lead us in a meditation and centering moment.
Okay, so I know how we're all introverts, so we're going to do something new age and wild. We're going to do a breath prayer, and it's really quite simple. All I need you to do is sit, relax, breathe, and every once in a while say a few words. So let's give it a try. Take a few breaths. Breathe in. Do it slow. Do it deep. Let your lungs and abdomen stretch and fill up. Pay attention to what you're feeling in your heart, in your head, and what your body's doing, hopefully relaxing. Let your mind and spirit flow and open up. So from here on, we're going to do a couple things with each breath in and each breath out. So breathe in again and let calmness of this place enter in. Breathe out and let the daily struggles leave your body. Breathe in and let God enter into your body. Breathe out all insecurities that you have. Breathe in and let the Spirit ignite your heart. Breathe out all fear, worry, and anger. Okay, you guys got breathing down. So now let's see about talking. When we inhale, let's say, "I need you." And as we exhale, "God, be near." So inhale, "I need you." Exhale, "God, be near." Inhale, "I need you." Exhale, "God, be near." Inhale, "I need you." Exhale, "God, be near." Now let's take a moment to just be quiet amongst ourselves and listen intently to all that's going on inside of you and outside of you. Hear your breathing. Hear the quietness. Hear your heart beating. And probably the scariest thing, take time to listen and hear your thoughts.
you, John. I feel full of the Spirit now. Thank
Indeed.
You. Well, I am going to invite you all to stand as you're able and join me in the opening prayer that is on your screens. Let us pray. We ask today, O God, for those who have lost hope and for those who have never had it. Grant to us and to those we lift before you in our hearts a new and abiding vision of what you have done, what you are doing, and what you will do to save and redeem your people and indeed creation itself. Grant, O God, that all might see, believe, and discover their purpose and the purpose of all that is and all that is yet to be. And now let us remain standing and sing When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.
Amen. You may be seated. Our scripture for this evening comes from the book of Ephesians, which is a letter from Paul to the church in Ephesus. And then the text is kept for us this way. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world. Following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, doing the will of flesh and senses, and were by nature children of wrath, like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which God loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not the result of works, so that no one might boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, so we may walk in them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now we're going to watch a lyric video. This is by a progressive Christian band called The Many, based out of Chicago. And they're singing a song called Extravagant Love. And we're going to listen to that as sort of an entree into our discussion for this evening.
There is enough.
So now we're going to enter into our discussion, and the topic for tonight is the phrase, God helps those who help themselves. Now, who has heard this phrase before by a show of hands? You've heard it, right? Yeah. Has anybody ever said it to you? Yeah, I see some nods. All right. Have you ever said it to somebody else? You're going
to
plead
that's
the fifth.
That's a harder one to admit.
That's right. They're going to plead the fifth on that. I will not incriminate myself. Okay. That's totally fine. When somebody said it to you, how did it make you feel? God helps those who help themselves. There's kind of a, if you want to get through something, you got to do it yourself.
Yeah.
You
got to put yourself up by your own bootstraps.
Oh, that's right. The bootstrap is...
Make an effort. Yeah.
Yeah. Put the effort into it. If you don't work for it, you don't deserve it.
Yeah.
Right? That type of a thing.
And it's so interesting how our... how the way we live in society, our worth as human beings is focused on like all the wrong things. Mm-hmm. How much money we have, how hard we are supposed to have worked, what kind of car we drive. What kind of house we have. I mean, all these things. And I was just talking to the confirmation students about this. It kind of misses the point. You know, we were talking about baptism and whether we were born into sin or whether we were born into grace and love. And I think part of the thing that I always try to remind myself and anybody who listens is that we believe that we were born into love, and that we don't have to earn everything is a gift, like the scripture said, and like the song says.
A very extravagant gift at that.
Yeah, indeed.
Right. Well, I do have another question. And be honest, okay, because I'll be honest and raise my hand too. The first time you heard somebody say, God helps those who help themselves, how many of you thought that was written in the Bible? And my hand's up. Okay. Mm. Anybody else? All right. Just us. Just us two. Not you guys. First time I heard it, I thought, well, that's got to be in the Bible. If somebody's saying, hey, God says,
Right.
God's going to help you if you do it yourself. Well, we'll get into that in a minute or two.
Mm-hmm.
You want to do the next
question
about the mindset? I know this.
So, So, If we believed that, right? If we thought that this was actually true, how would it change our prayer life and our attitude towards the oppressed, the marginalized, all of those kinds of folks?
Well, obviously we're not going to ask God for help because we have to help ourselves.
Right.
Yeah.
And those other people, well, if they try harder, they'll make a go of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. That's the feeling you get when you take this phrase to heart.
Mm.
Is, mm-hmm. well, if I have to do it all by myself, then, like you said, I don't need to pray to God for help because he's not going to help me unless I do it myself.
Right. Yeah.
And those who live on the margins, man, they should be working as hard as me, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's just not the way it works, though. It's
not
possible for everyone.
Yeah. And because in American society, there's such a understanding of the grind, you know, rise and grind, you know, that kind of resonates with some people. Maybe not with us because we know better, but you know, it resonates with a lot of folks.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And in fact, there was a study done about this very topic, and there were a lot of people who thought that this actually was in the Bible,
yeah.
That this was actually biblical.
That's right. So you and I aren't alone, right? People actually, it's the most quoted scripture that is not in the Bible at all.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. It was popularized by Benjamin Franklin, of all people. And it misses the entire point of the gospel.
That's right.
And in fact, the Bible teaches the opposite. God helps people who can't help themselves under any circumstances.
Right. And so this phrase kind of distorts our understanding of God's grace and our understanding of how much we depend on God.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I thought you were saying something. Okay. So, when we look at the Ephesians passage, John is going to talk a little bit about what the context is. Oh, there's other parts.
Or if we got through that, that's fine.
Yeah, okay. I think we'll just go with it.
Okay.
Okay, so Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. It's kind of a pivotal passage in the New Testament that addresses the Christian spiritual state of salvation. It begins with Paul reminding us and those in the Ephesian church of their spiritual deadness due to sin and disobedience. The passage then describes God's mercy and grace and how people are saved through their beliefs and faith, not by their works. Another hang-up that a lot of us have gone through as we change from churches to churches and ideas to ideas, that you got to work hard, you've got to put out the good front, you've got to be the A number one Christian, or you're going to where it's always warm.
Like a lot of us seem to be right
not
now.
Not the Dominican Republic.
No. It tells us about the transformation power of God and what his grace is going to do. It gives new life to believers. The context of Ephesus was an interesting place. Kind of bad Las Vegas. There were pagan religions and customs, and you could kind of do whatever you wanted there. And the passage illustrates the difference between spiritual deadness of the past and the new life that grace gives us. Grace first, then our response. The story of salvation is that we can't get ourselves out of sin. So God, through Jesus, with what we're discussing for this whole month, did what we can't do, couldn't do, won't do, and with what Jesus did, probably won't have enough guts to do. While we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for all of our sins and for the ungodly. Those at that time, those that came before him, those that will come after all of us. Jesus didn't wait for us to get our act together, because pretty much none of us have it yet. He initiated help out of pure grace. Many scriptures reinforce God's help comes not because we deserve it by our efforts, but through his mercy, his grace, his love. There's a scripture that states he saved us not because of any works of our righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy, through the water of rebirth and renewal, and by the Holy Spirit. And still staying with Ephesians, for by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not your own doing. It's a gift of God, not the results of work, so that no one can boast about how much better they are than the rest. Of course, God's grace is what we're called to respond to with action. So faith without work is dead. It's kind of the way that we always missed it prior in other ventures of our life. Because of grace, we are saved, and because of grace, we are to do the good works. Indeed, one author succinctly puts it, that God helps those who help themselves, but that God helps those who realize they can't help themselves. This aligns with Jesus' teachings. The parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector shows the humble person, knowing who he's helpless, receives God's help and justification, and is not just a self-righteous achiever.
Now, every major Christian tradition rejects the idea that we earn God's help. Protestant theology, which is our United Methodist and our congregational churches, strongly emphasize salvation by grace through faith, not our works, not how many people we help walk across the street, not how many people we drive to church on Sunday. And this pushes back on the notion that God's favor is for those who help themselves. Our denominations would point to God's heart for the vulnerable. Through the Bible, God repeatedly helps the widows and the orphans. Meanwhile, the Catholic tradition also condemns the attitude of Pelagianism, which is the heresy that we can attain salvation by our own efforts. However, different traditions do value human cooperation with God's grace. For instance, Methodist theology talks about prevenient grace, which is something that our founder, John Wesley, explained. It means God's grace enables us to respond. Sanctifying grace, he said, means that we cooperate with the Holy Spirit in our good works.
Yeah. And so while responsible action is certainly encouraged in our Christian life, all traditions agree that it's God's initiative and aid that truly accomplishes anything. Psalm 127, verse 1 says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain." And I think that it's also important to talk about how culture sort of weaves into all of this. I think there are a lot of folks who, as we've said before, just kind of have this idea that they have to do it all by themselves. And I told our confirmation students tonight, I said, this is something that you can't do on your own. And I, as a pastor, have to grow in my faith and have to learn a lot about my faith from some of you. Some of you have taught me a lot about what I believe, and my beliefs have changed since I stepped into this church, into this pulpit. So, you know, there's just lots of different things going on. And so, like, what would be different about our faith if we understood that our worth is not defined by our productivity? What would be different about the way we live our lives if we understood that we didn't have to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps? And hopefully tonight we've learned that God's help isn't a reward for our effort, but it's a gift that empowers us to do what we could never do alone, as we are made stronger by the Spirit of God's grace. So if these words be true, let all the people say, amen.
Amen.
So this next hymn is number 353 in our hymnal. It is common for our Methodist folks, but may not be quite as common for our UCC folks. And that's okay, because this is cross-denominational work here, right? So it is in your hymnal, which is the blue book in front of you if you need it. Otherwise, the words will be on the screen. Grace greater than our sin. And greater than all our wrong notes.
I hit a couple, I know.
The refrain was good, though. We all did good there.
Yeah.
So, UCC Sears, you know he's going to bring it back.
Yes,
he is. I don't know. It's nice. I like it.
So let us enter into a time of intentional prayer, and let us start with a moment of silent prayer. Just you speaking to God, sharing what's in your heart, sharing what's in your mind, and possibly sharing what you can't say aloud or in front of others. Lord, you have heard what is in our hearts, and now be patient as we send you our needs and petitions. Be with us as we remember your life and what Jesus did, the ultimate charity for all of us. People enter into our lives every day. Some are givers and some are in need. Allow each one of them to be blessed. Help them to come to know who you are, to be strengthened if they know you, to be watched over by you. We remember your command that we should pray for ourselves, our family, our neighbors, and even those that we consider our enemies. There are many that we know of or have heard of that have afflictions, ailments, injuries, and problems. Those who are struggling and those who are in pain. We are so thankful that you care about our problems, that you want each and every one of us to be whole and happy. We ask that you would touch and comfort all those who are in need, whether that need is physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, or in any way that a person might be struggling. We ask that you take away any pain or discomfort if it is possible. Please bless all those whose gifts are to give aid to those who need it. We thank you, Lord, for the variety of help that is around us, with us, and that we can give. We pray for this community, this city, this country. Oh, Lord, we pray for this whole wide world. We thank you for allowing Jesus to go through all that he did while he was here on this earth the first time, in order to protect us, to save us, to forgive us, and show us that there's a chance at eternal life. Help us to remember what Christ did, what God does, and what the Holy Spirit helps us to do. And now, if you take a moment to look at the screen and join in this call and response prayer. How did we ever think we could do this alone, O God? Somehow we missed the point that we need each other. We need you. Our independence is a false sense of security.
We are too focused on our pride to remember the provision of your grace and mercy.
You tell us over and over that we don't have to do anything to earn your love and your blessings. And yet we forget this over and over and over again. This often leads to dismissal or even contempt of those we call our neighbors. Forgive us, O God. Remind us that you gave us life and abundance. Your great gift of love and compassion sustains us when we don't know where else to turn.
Thank you, O God.
Help us trust others enough to be vulnerable.
Because vulnerability can lead us deeper into community and deeper into a meaningful life of faith.
We pray this in the name of your Son, who shows us the way of independence, and now join in a prayer that Jesus taught us using the words on the screen or whatever is in your heart and in your mind. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done
on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
John, you know what I say at funerals.
Yes, I do.
Renee, you don't know what I say at funerals. Whenever I lead the Lord's Prayer, I say you can use whatever translation means the most to you. And if you say trespasses, the rest of us will wait for you. And I just love the different traditions that we have here when we gather for worship. And so I just had to say that. So now the time has come to offer our gifts back to God. We give thanks for all gifts that are given, whether through time, talent, treasure, or prayer. But tonight, we are continuing our gift to the Waupun Food Pantry and all of the great work that they do in this community. So if you choose to give this evening, may you do so understanding that we are embodying the fact that we are giving these gifts to people that can't help themselves, to recognize that our God is with us as we give these gifts, and with others as they receive them. If you'll join us in our doxology, you can rise or you can stay seated, depending on whatever you want, but let's sing together.
And together let us dedicate these wonderful offerings in saying, Steadfast God of hope, you have called us to rejoice,
not in ease or achievement, but in the grace that sustains us through suffering, the love that meets us in struggle, and the hope that does not disappoint. You pour your Spirit into our hearts, shaping us into a people who give not out of obligation, but of gratitude. Bring with you gifts, may they testify to your presence among us and to the promise you offer this world through Jesus Christ. Make us bold in our sharing, joyful in our worship, and confident in your grace. In the name of the one who died for us and lives within us, we pray. Amen.
And for our final hymn, it'll be up on the screen again, but if you want to look for some notes and some help, 372, I Then Shall Live.
live out our call to be the hands and feet and heart of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
We've probably been together longer than we've been apart, so.